When you think work, you think boots. You think boots, you think Ariat. You think grit, concrete, rain, and heat. And boots that never back down from any of it. You think comfort and durability that hold up on the job, off the clock, and every step in between. Because the day doesn't end when the job does. And from overtime to off-duty, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, and always back you up. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find yours at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Hello, friends, and welcome to a very special Masters edition of the Blockout Sports Pod. I am your host and moderator, Travis Carter. Over my right shoulder, as always, is the tune of the big fella country, Matt Kempf, and bellied up to the bar, a man who I did not have time to come up with a witty introduction for tonight because we are recording two podcasts in a row. The fabulous one, the golden boy, Freddie Benders.
I can come up with one. A lefty who always shanks it to the right.
And that is true. And I can't wait to see that in person down in Florida this week.
Yeah, this is the week that Jim Nance trades in his picture of toast for a picture of pimento cheese.
All that being out of the way, this will publish on Wednesday, right before the Masters, and it's one of my favorite weekends of the year. I know it's Freddie and I have watched the final round of the Masters together for years and years and years. I know Tuna's into it too. There's just something about that tournament, something about the way it's presented on television, something about the way the course looks. The magical moments that we've all seen that really brings people in, even not necessarily golf diehards, just people that enjoy big-time sporting events always seem to be drawn to the Masters. And I wanted to start this quick preview show off just by getting you guys' maybe a Masters moment that you guys remember, or one that maybe initially drew you to this particular tournament. And Tuna, I was curious to know what that might be for you.
For me, I think it was easy. It was Tiger's first Masters win. Him coming out, and this was a guy, what was he, 21 years of age when he did it, and his dad coming out and them hugging on the green together. It was just neat seeing a kid like him come through that everybody talked about being this phenom, and to step on that stage as a 22 or 21 year old man and play to perfection. And it basically kicked off the run of what Tiger came to be known as, the best golfer ever.
And you could really see that because not only did he win that tournament in 97, he won it in historic fashion.
I mean,
he blew everybody out. And that Sunday, if you ever get a chance, you can go on YouTube and watch any of these final round broadcasts. And I'm a weirdo. I'm a geek when it comes to that kind of stuff. And I will go back and watch the entire broadcasts of some of these Class A, and that's one that I've watched a few different times. And just to see not just the ascendance of Tiger Woods, but really the shift in the entire game of golf that moment signified is really something in the history of not just golf, but of professional sports in the United States.
When I was younger, golf, I just kind of looked at it like on TV, like it was just old people that watched golf on TV, and it was a boring sport. And I was like, what are they doing? And when I was a kid, we belonged to that South Park Country Club out in Fairdale.
Yep.
And we'd go there and hang out, and I just remember these old, crusty old dudes just in there watching golf and talking about it. I'm like, how awful is that, that they're watching this? And there was something about the Tiger Woods experience that got youth involved into the game of golf.
Right.
And just, I can't, just to look at the way that the game is now compared to what it was in the early 90s, it's just uncomparable. Like, the game has approached new levels that we never thought would happen.
Yeah.
Right. There's just, and saying that,
it's became kind of the cool sport to like.
And there's something about the Masters that just, because it is the history and everything is, you know how you say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it? It's almost like the Masters is the ultimate don't fix it.
Right.
And it's like, you know, every, like, from the song that we heard at the beginning of the show to the quiet talking and the beautiful scenery and the fans that are so knowledgeable and so under control, and the players love that about it. No, put it in the hole and all that. You know what I mean?
You got to say, like, and I'm pretty sure all three of us appreciate that, but there's something about the Masters that separates that, that where you don't get
Look,
that. Look,
I love, right. Yeah. I love the tournament in Phoenix.
Yeah.
Yes.
Where everybody's going crazy and getting hammered at the amphitheater.
Or the Ryder Cup that's wild. But,
The U.S. Open. Like,
right.
Yeah.
But the Masters is just, it chills you out.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like it takes longer.
And the fact that it's, you know, a major that's played at the same course for however many years, we know all the holes.
Like, God, can we get a golden tee in Augusta, please? Please?
I don't think Augusta would ever let that happen.
Never.
I bought, and I'm not a big video game guy, but back when Tiger Woods still had his EA Sports PGA Tour golf game, whatever, 2012, 2013, something like that, they included Augusta on the game. I bought it specifically for that reason.
Wow, I didn't know
and
that.
And I played, I mean, I literally couldn't wait to get home with that video game because I said, man, I know this course and I know, and man, it was so cool because you could really see the elevation changes and the way that the greens are contoured and everything like that. But Fred, what was the Masters moment that maybe brought you into your love of the tournament or something that really sticks out to you?
Well, I can remember this, and I kind of had to think back on the actual what happened. My grandmother, who was she had a hole-in-one on a par 3 at West Palm Beach and stuff, and I wasn't into golf, but when she, after my grandfather passed away, she started staying at our house, at his brother's house, and she would kind of hang out for, you know, 3 or 4 weeks with each one of us, and I can remember her. Every time she was at our house on the weekend, it was on golf. It was on golf. And I was like, oh, my God, I can't watch my sports because she's got it on golf. And then I would find myself sitting on the couch like, who's winning? What? Da-da-da. And just following on to it. And she is really the one that got me into watching golf. And I can remember in 1989 that and I hate to be not a negative, it's just a negative moment in Masters history to where like Scott Hoke in 1989, I was watching it with her and he missed. Now I'm looking back at it now and I couldn't remember exactly. I don't know it that well, but I do remember watching it live on TV when he missed that 24-inch putt that would have been a playoff over Nick Faldo. Instead, he totally kind of, I guess you could call that he shanked it. But he was smoking cigarettes. And like, and it was so weird to me. I'm like, man, this guy's smoking cigarettes and he looks stressed out.
Ben Crenshaw comes to mind. He chain smoked his way around that,
and Scott,
that course.
And I can remember my grandmother talking about it, and man, and I was, and that's when I got the magnitude that, man, this tournament is huge. You know, it's not just the Masters. Don't take it for granted, but I can remember it ain't I, and from that point on, I feel like that my dad and I always had it on, even if she wasn't there for each Masters moving forward. But that's kind of the moment that I remember so much. And then, of course, on to great moments with Phil and Tiger, like when they're all following up the fairway and things of that nature. But that was really the coolest.
Brooks Koepka grabbed his girlfriend's butt. That was a big moment.
A tradition unlike any other, too.
But down to the food, like the pimento cheese, all the food and the signature things that they have that are like still what, $4. You know,
less than that,
or
I
less
think.
Than that, the yeah. beer or whatever you get is, you know, my Masters flag will be hanging from the capstone on Sunday.
And you know, I would love to sit here and tell everybody that, because my favorite Masters of all times is 1986, but I have a vague recollection of watching the final round on television. I've grown to love that tournament in the years following that, you know, by watching, like I said before, you can watch the entire final rounds on YouTube or whatever. And I will watch the final round of the 86 Masters almost every year before the tournament starts. But my initial favorite Masters moment was in 1992. That was the year I started really it was the first time I ever picked up a golf club. And I thought Fred Couples was the coolest dude ever. And
he is.
We had a different perception of cool.
No, he is a cool dude, man. Freddie Couples is a cool dude. If you don't think Freddie Couples
No, I mean,
a cool
I'm sure
dude,
he's cool, but like I feel like there were some cooler dudes around the world of sports.
I don't know. I don't know if you know who he was married to back then and what was going on with him. Yeah.
I don't.
But he won the 92 Masters, and that like flipped a switch with me. And he hit that shot. Was it on 12? I think it was on 12. He hit the shot that almost rolled back into the water, and it stopped on the bank.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
Yeah, they show that
back
shot
into
a lot,
the water.
Yeah.
And he ends up winning the tournament, and then, you know, a funny thing about that is just a few years later, I'm in college in 95. I believe it was 95. And that was when Greg Norman was up big on Faldo going into the final day. And I remember, you know, we were at this, you know, a Sunday fun day college party. And I said, man, we should put the golf tournament on. And everybody was like, well, a golf tournament? Why would we put that golf tournament on? I said, let's just put it on and see. I'm not kidding. By the end of that tournament, you know, the last eight holes, all these guys that were out in the front yard going, we don't care about golf. We were all in the living room of this apartment going crazy as Norman choked another tournament away, and Faldo won. And I mean, I was completely hooked after 95, and I'm pretty sure I haven't missed a Sunday.
Does it even rain there? I don't think
they pay to get the rain moved.
Dude, I think they pay to get the rain moved.
They can control all that, man.
I don't know if I've ever seen it rain there.
It's just a.
It never rains on Jim Nantz, never once.
It's just a different golf tournament. It's different every year. It feels different.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, I love it. And I've actually packed my Masters green polo for Florida. I will be wearing that on the golf course down there in Florida when we play Wednesday, one day before the Masters kicks off.
I have my green Masters visor that I will be wearing.
And I mean, those. What's cool about it is that, you know, you could talk to 100 different golf fans, and you're going to get 100 different memories about stuff like that.
It's what, bucket list. It is bucket list.
Yeah, and
top dog.
I can't wait to eventually go there and see the place in person. But it's just one of those things where everybody has a different year, has a different memory, and most and so much of it, like Freddie was saying, with his grandmother, and so many people say, well, me and my dad watched, you know, the Sunday, you know, watched the final round of the Masters together every year. And, you know, it's just one of those sporting events that has that kind of cachet and has that kind of emotional weight that people talk about it in almost reverential tones.
And you can see it on the players' faces when they step on that course. It doesn't matter if it's their first time playing there or their 15th time playing there. I think it means the same to them each time they step on it. And you can, I think the players' expressions and their mannerisms and the way that they are at that course, it radiates to us watching it on television to
no
where
question.
We can feel the intensity like that. So I
right.
just
down to the caddies.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. It's just it there's just a different air
to it. Caddies wear their white. You got the par three. What about the dinner? Who doesn't want to go to that dinner?
No, Scotty's got the menu going on this
year,
man.
Who doesn't want to go to? Who doesn't?
Have we seen
be
that menu yet?
Dinner.
I feel like I just looked at it.
I have seen that menu, and that's. That is something, and I'm glad you brought that up, Fred, because every year I look forward to seeing what the champion is going to serve for dinner. Like, I can't imagine there's any other sporting event in the world that would garner that kind of interest in something like that. But every year I'm like, man, I wonder what, you know, Sergio is going to serve this year or whoever, and Scheffler, I know he's doing ribeye steak.
I've got it right here. I'll read
right,
it.
Yeah,
I'll read it
yeah,
out.
Please do.
It's cheeseburger sliders served Scotty style. I have no idea what Scotty style is.
I have to imagine it's just like
bland
cheese and
bland and tastes really good.
Cheese and mayonnaise. Okay. Would be my guess.
And then firecracker shrimp.
Yep.
Tortilla soup. Texas ribeye steak or blackened redfish, and warm chocolate chip skillet cookie.
Oh, wow.
I know,
and
man.
That's pretty basic like he is.
Well, and
so I expect the same menu at Freddie's house when I come there to watch Sunday Masters.
Well, you will have some of the best pimento cheese you've ever had.
I want blackened redfish and skillet cookies.
My thought when I heard that.
Sliders, Freddie style.
When I heard that menu was that's either a Masters Champions dinner or that's the Saturday night special at Applebee's.
It does.
You know,
firecracker shrimp.
Yeah, I mean,
still,
it kind of seems like
they
that.
Still claim that Matsuyama had one of the best dinners in a
well,
long
I couldn't
time.
Pronounce how
half
the stuff that was on that menu.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
They claim that.
I mean, there's no question that the Masters dinner menu is always better when it's an international player.
Exactly.
I mean, there is no doubt about that.
Well, has there been a Scottish guy win it yet?
I don't know.
Well, that explains it, because Scottish cuisine is not the best. So,
goldfish.
Haggis.
But, no, I can't wait. I have a future bet that I made a month ago on a player not very hot right now, but I got my future bet on Zalatoris to win about $800 or $600, I think.
He's played there consistently well, and if you've listened to this over the course of the past couple of weeks, you know that Freddie and I are both on Will Zalatoris as a long shot. Not necessarily a long shot. He's you know, probably got, what, the top 20th or top 10th odds to win this right now, which is not really the best odds, but I do really like him to finish in the top 10 on this.
I actually have him on my thumbs down board.
Do you?
Because
his back.
And, man, I will not use the word in golf that you use for a guy that.
Oh, the one that I said last week?
That struggles with 3.5-foot putts consistently. But, man, when it hits him, he is terrible. Now, I will say this. I love the kid, and I hope he wins, mm-hmm. but I'm not going to bet him.
I just feel like he's always played Augusta at a strong level, at least for the last 4 years?
Yeah.
So last three years?
Yeah.
So I feel like he's due up there for, you know, what? He's finished second here twice. Is that correct? Or I'm not sure on that. But anyway, he's played really well up here. I really love him as a top 10 finish in this tournament. But
and I hope you're right.
Yeah. And obviously, if you're talking gambling, you'd be stupid not to put any money on Scottie Scheffler. I know the odds aren't great, but you're not playing. Like, favorites are favorites for a reason.
Right.
I'm not going to get beat by Scottie Scheffler. I'm going to have a piece of Scottie Scheffler. He's playing too good a golf right now not to be a part of that. And
I have three.
I have three as well.
Yeah. Let's get around to this.
Well, I have three thumbs down that I'm not going to bet. One is Zalatoris, as we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
One is another player that I really enjoy, but who never really played well at Augusta, and that's Victor Hovland. And then I'm going to include every player on the LIV Tour. That is playing.
Thank God.
And
I am putting
them on the thumbs down board. Fred, what do you like?
Well, I have three players, and they're very different. Obviously, I have Zalatoris already down, and I'm going to give you three more. And obviously, you all know my favorite golfer is the Kiz, Kevin Kisner. I would love for him to get in there. I'm just not quite sure, but my number one pick is a player that's really been playing well. I would love to see what his menu would be if he were to win. I've always respected him, and he is back to form and playing well. I'm not sure if what his Masters finishes are and all that, but I'm going with Jason Day as my one of my picks.
He played well in the in the match play.
Right. I just don't know. He's been playing well all year. Mm-hmm. I just don't know if Augusta
five top tens
is,
right now?
Is his gig. But he is – I would love to see him win a green jacket. I also have I have Zalatoris. We're not talking about Chevron. I also think that Patrick Cantlay – is another pick that I have. A great putter. I'm not sure if he's true to form, but he is playing well, and he is up there a lot lately. You know, he's been, I guess, I don't know, and he's been higher up than JT and some of those guys that I can think of. And then my third pick is someone that always gets chosen, and I'm not quite sure if he has the killer instinct just yet. He needs to get it, a la Nick Faldo or somebody. Obviously, a la Tiger. But Tony Finau. I'm looking.
He's one of my choices.
Tony Finau is due for a win in a major at some point, and he needs to get that Saturday. Saturday, he's got – it's not Sunday, it's Saturday. When he's in the top 10 and he's on Sunday, he's usually up there. It's Saturday is the day that really where he falters. And I feel like Saturday, if he could get the lead or be in the top two and up in those groups, that maybe on Sunday he could maybe get that killer instinct that he has not shown us yet.
I agree. And – he is one of my picks. I also agree with Tuna. I've got Scottie Scheffler. I've got John Rahm.
Shocker.
I like Max Homa to finish top 10.
He's hot.
Yeah, I'm with you on Homa. It's kind of like...
That course fits him.
My thing with Homa is I like him so much as a person, and it's like it's hard for me to like not put him in my top five on a weekly basis. Right. So I kind of get roped into that, and that's got me. I'm kind of going with Sungjae Im on this a little bit. I really
sushi.
Well, that wasn't politically correct.
Hey, I love sushi.
Yeah, he likes hamburgers too. I'm going to say a thumbs down guy. I think he's just been playing bad golf lately is Matt Fitzpatrick. He came on hot, and I don't know what's going on with that guy.
He's a weird dude.
Yeah, he is.
He's a weird dude.
He is. Where are we at here? I get this. But yeah, I'm off on him, and I'm not going to do it because you guys hate the live guys or live tour guys, so I'm just not even going to bring it up. But
oh, no, you should say it out loud for posterity in case it happens.
Oh, you're going to take a live tour guy?
I'm not taking him, but, man, two of my favorite golfers are part of a live tour, and it kills me inside. And he's not going to win, so I'm not going to say Brooks Koepka. But Cameron,
I know you love Koepka.
Cameron Smith.
Okay.
I really like the Aussie, man.
Hell of a putter.
Yeah. My problem with those guys, and I'm kind of with you on the thumbs down on it, Travis, is they haven't played at this competition level.
Right.
Like these guys have week in and week out.
They haven't played a four-round tournament. No. Let alone a major.
Absolutely.
It's insane.
So I'm sure they're probably peak physical, but there's just something about being in that moment that you have to build up to. You can't just take that much time off and stroll into it. So I don't know what their preparation process is or whatever, but I find it hard to put money on these guys. But I wouldn't be surprised if Cameron Smith did kind of jump up in there.
Well, my pick to win the entire tournament after I talked those, and again, this is probably coming from my heart even more than my head, but this isn't going to come as a shock to a lot of people, but I'm picking Rory McIlroy to win the whole thing. And I think, man, what a awesome thing it would be for him to be in Butler Cabin on Sunday. And I wonder if Nance would ask him a question about, you know, do you feel good about just sticking it to all these dudes on the live tour? He probably wouldn't. I'm going to pick Rory to win the whole thing.
I hear you. I like, and I didn't give you all thumbs down, player, but I'm going to pick Patrick Reed.
He may be disqualified after the par 3 tournament. He's probably going to like lift clean and place his ball or
Freddie
something.
Freddie wins a thumbs down contest.
All right, you're serving at a restaurant, and there's two people sitting at a table. One table's Jim Nance, the other table's Patrick Reed. You got your choice of tables to go wait on. Which one are you going to?
Nance. A thousand times out of a thousand.
Gosh, you guys chose poorly.
A thousand times out of a thousand.
Are you talking breakfast or dinner?
Well, that's a very important question.
I'll tell you, Nance, if you make his breakfast or his lunch or his dinner correctly, is going to tip you tremendously. Here's what Patrick
Reed, with a necktie?
No, here's what Patrick Reed's going to do. Patrick Reed's going to pull out one of his own hairs out of his head, stick it in a salad, and after he eats the whole thing, say, I'm not paying for this because I found a hair in my salad.
Or drop his fries under the table and go, did you charge me for fries?
Either way, I'm spitting in both their food before I take it to their table.
Oh, God. Do you like Vern Lundquist?
I love Vern. Hey, how can anybody not like Vern?
I think last year was his last one, right?
I think he's still going to be on.
He's very close to being. Oh, maybe he is going to be on 16. Okay.
Yeah, I love Vern.
Have you ever in your life?
And that actually takes us almost perfectly to the 30 minutes that we had talked about using for this Masters preview. This will drop on Wednesday, right before the tournament. We hope everybody enjoys the Masters. I hope that it's a great tournament. It almost always is. I hope no LIV guys are on the leaderboard as they're coming down on Sunday. Tuna, Fred, you guys got any last thoughts about the Masters?
Not on the Masters, but I want to congratulate Connecticut for their winning their national championship.
I love it.
All right, Freddie?
I'm hoping that UAB has won already because it's not on a TV.
Well, that happened a week ago.
What?
Oh, I think he's talking about the NIT. Oh, yeah, yeah.
It happened a week ago.
Yeah, Jelly Walker.
No, yeah, it happened a week ago.
Yeah.
So congratulations,
for
UAB.
For people that are listening to this now, it happened a week ago.
We just exploded his mind.
I have nothing else to say except I need a cocktail and some beach.
Yeah, and I can't wait to be on the beach this week. Thank you guys so much for listening. Can't wait for the Masters, for the big fella, the Tuna, Country Matt Kemp, the fabulous one, Freddie Benders. This is Travis Carter saying, maybe, yes, sir!